heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen to the everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. The doctor saving lives at your local hospital. The war veteran down the street who risked his lives for our freedom. The police officers and firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur. The creator. The producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. And I can make a difference. Then they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to The Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks of the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome back to The Hero Show. Richard Matthews here, and on the line today I have Elise Rorick. Hopefully I pronounced that right. Did I get that right this time, Elise?
Yes.
Awesome. So Elise is a photographer and an artist. She's been a photographer since high school, started getting paid to do weddings and portrait photography. You went to fine art school. And over the last couple of years, you've really started to turn your photography business into a full-time position for you. And that's what you're doing now, right? Is you're doing yes. Product photography and things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Product photography and book cover design.
Awesome. So that's what you're known for right now, is product photography and book cover design. Those are two pretty different things. Is there a reason why you could do both photography and book cover design?
Well, book cover design is sort of the realization I had of how to combine all of the things that I love. So graphic design, art, photography, and stories, because I've always been a huge book nerd.
So that was
a realization that came like well after college. And I was just like, oh, well, that's a profession. Like, people do that. I could do that. But I had already been doing the photography for so long, and I do still really enjoy product photography. So I'm sort of transitioning, but at the same time, I don't think that I will ever truly get rid of product photography. Like, my goal is to have the book cover design be a little more of the focus, but even still, I mean, they also go hand in hand really well, because if you're working, especially with self-published authors, they, you know, put their book out and it's got my cover on it. And then also they need photography of the finished book so that they can market the book, and so I can kind of wrap it all up in one package.
Nice. You got a nice little like unique service there for people, so
exactly.
They can get their books designed, get pictures done of them, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Authors so, need like headshot photos, so it all still ties in together, and then I still enjoy photography. Most of my art is photo based.
One of the things that I do with a lot of my clients in my business is I tell them they need to go hire a photographer and get hero shots done, right? So they can use them in their marketing pieces. So
yes,
a lot of them are authors. So authors certainly need to get that kind of stuff done.
Yes, exactly. And so it's just
awesome.
It's a good way to start building relationships with the photography. And then later, if they finish a book and need more, then I can provide other services too. So you're right. It sounds like they're very different things, but I've sort of figured out that they kind of actually can work together really well.
Yeah, and it gives you a unique place in the marketplace, because not a lot of people have both photography skills and book design skills, so you can offer something that not a lot of other people can offer.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing that I think, you know, if you can bring your own unique uniqueness to a product and service offering. You know, I do the same thing. Like, a lot of my clients, I have a photography background as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my clients, I'll walk them through, like, here's how you should get your photography done.
Right.
And I have a little document I call my photography cheat sheet that's written in photographer ease, right? Like,
yeah,
it's written
in
language that a photographer understands. And I was like, here, take this, because like, I do marketing for my clients. And like, you can give this to a photographer and then you'll get back what you want. Right. Because if you go to a portrait photographer and you say, I want to get portraits, you'll get portraits back. Right. Because that's what it means, something specific to a photographer.
Yeah.
So A lot of my clients don't know that, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know how to speak photographer. So they go and they ask for a portrait session and then get portraits back. And then none of the pictures are useful for the marketing we need to do.
Right.
So I have
it's
a whole
very different thing. Well, especially a lot of authors, especially again, a lot of self-published authors, like they, in a lot of senses, become the brand. Like, and so people want to hear not just about the book, but also about them and about the story. And so,
yeah, about who they are.
Exactly. Like, and I call those sessions actually brand photography sessions, not
absolutely
just like, it's not really just a headshot. It's not really just product photography of your book. It's everything all combined so that you can use all of it to tell the story of what your story is, basically.
See, now I feel like I need to pull out my cheat sheet and go over it with you and make sure that it hits all the points since you're actually doing some of the brand photography work.
Right.
Photographer, if a client brought this to you, would you be able to return what they're looking for? That's good.
Yeah, so, we can do that.
Yeah. So as you know, this show is about the heropreneur, right? And as a hero, every hero has an origin story, right? This is where you started to realize that maybe you were different, that maybe you had superpowers, and that maybe you could use those to help other people. You know, it's where you started to develop or discover the value that you can bring to the world through your business. Mm-hmm. So what's your origin story?
So my origin story is kind of like long and windy, really. But, and then also very specific because I picked up a camera at age 12 because my dad was always an amateur photographer. And I don't remember why. I just remember that I picked up his camera one day and started playing around with it. And then I kind of just ran off with it and didn't bring it back until he bought me my own. and that was actually, I used his camera all throughout high school for paid portrait and wedding things. And then for my high school graduation, like my dad and my grandma and I think my aunt and uncle all kind of pooled together and for my graduation gift got me my own nice DSLR camera. And so that is in one sense the origin, but then in another sense it's kind of photography and art and stories have sort of always been a part of who I am. And like I was the kid that used to get yelled at because I would take a book to a family like Christmas get together and then just sit on the corner of the couch reading, and everyone in my family would be like, will you please get your nose out of the book and come join us? And so I've always been that person too. And so the sort of discovery of how I can combine all of that, and that is what led to my services that I offer now and really who I am now and what I'm trying to do. And so that was a very gradual thing. It was like I said, I did some portrait and wedding work that I was hired for even in high school. And then that continued in college when I was getting my fine arts degree in photography. And then it was sort of a slow realization after that of like, actually, I don't really love this. Like, yes, it's photography, but it's not
the thing you love doing.
Right. It's not the kind of photography I love doing, really. And so then that was a discovery process to realize that, oh, actually what I'm interested in is more like product photography. And then it's like, oh, well, that's a thing. And I can kind of go pursue that, which I did for a while.
Go down that path.
Yeah. And so I went down that for a while, but then at the same time, so for a while, product photography was my full-time job and like how I was making my money, but I was still very interested, always was interested in stories and in artwork. All of my artwork is almost always inspired by stories in one way or another. And so I was still always really interested in that and doing that on the side, like in the evenings and weekends.
Yeah.
And I even at that point of that full-time job came up with the first idea that eventually led to my own product book release that just happened last fall. And so it was always sort of this side-by-side thing where, well, this is my career, but this is still my interest. And I had basically set off on my own to learn how to have a business and how to do marketing, because I didn't learn any of that in art school. Yeah. And so I was like, everyone tells you when you're marketing and when you're setting up, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to be? What services are you going to offer? Everyone says, you know, niche down, like pick a very specific thing and target that and do that. And I kept running into this problem of like, but I really enjoy like three different things, and they're seemingly very different things, because I've got, you know, my artwork, which is often painting and underwater photography. And then I have book cover designs because books. And then I had product photography. And so like, I was having the hardest time in the world just trying to pick what, how am I going to pick one of these and market it? And finally, one of my friends said to me, but Elise, the thing that those things all have in common is you. Like, you have a particular style, and like, it doesn't matter if it's a book cover or an underwater photo or a product photo. If you're sharing it like on Facebook, I don't even need to see who shared it to know that that's your work. So that's a unique thing that you have, and it's you. Like, yeah, there are three different things, but you unite them. And that was just like this totally clarifying eureka moment for me, because I was just like, oh, that's true.
It's a unique perspective.
Yeah. And then suddenly it was like, oh, okay. I don't have to fight this anymore. I can just pursue all three of them at once and wrap it up together to be just my unique thing. And so then that's eventually how I have ended up here, basically, where like everything we just talked about with the authors and brands.
A very interesting like way to look at your story and whatnot, was because you have this really interesting like story where you started way back in the beginning, and it's like it's a story of like discovery, like discovering what you are and what your skills are, and sort of how they become like this unique product and service offering in your space, which is which is very cool. And I think it's something that a lot of us can learn from, where we can actually, you know, what's what I'm looking to say, that you can, you don't have to know right at the beginning, right? You can,
right.
Which is, like, it grows over time.
Yeah. And it's so funny because even, like I said, it's a story that sort of has a specific definitive point, but also doesn't. And like, even in high school, I was saying, people would ask, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to go to college for? All these questions that you get as a teenager. And my answer was always, I'm going to be a photographer. And people, the response was always just like, oh, how are you going to do that? And then my response was just like, I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Like, literally, that was it.
And here you are. You have a photography business. It's right. Tying your unique perspective with art and storytelling and underwater skills, right? Like, that's all cool stuff.
So
at this point, right, at this point in your business, if you were to say you had one superpower, right, mm-hmm. it's the thing that you do or build or offer that really helps your clients solve problems, all right, helps them slay their villains, what would that superpower be? The thing that sort of sets you apart.
My superpower, and this kind of goes into my own like company branding and everything, but my superpower, I think, is enchantment. So and being able to capture enchantment, whether that's in a watercolor painting or an underwater photo or a book cover design, it's, so I call myself an enchantment artist or an enchantment photographer. They're a little interchangeable. And that, like, that's my superpower, is I can help other people, usually other storytellers or creatives, but I can help them to really capture the heart of their story in visual images, and sometimes even in writing, that they can then go out and share their story with the world.
So, all right, so you're helping other storytellers, other creatives, other probably entrepreneurs who are, they have a story and they want to get that visual element that really helps set that story off so they can, yes, they can share it.
Yes. And it's enchantment specifically because the images that I create are enchanting. They will capture the audience's attention.
I feel like we're going to have to pull up some examples here before we're too far into the,
we can do that.
Yeah. Into this. So have you found that message hard to, cause enchantment is like, to me, enchantment is it's an ambiguous word, right? It's like, I don't know right off the bat, like what you mean. Mm-hmm. So, from a marketing standpoint, how have you found that as a challenge to find the right people and then for them to understand what it is you can actually do for them?
It is a challenge for sure. And it was also, I spent a long time trying to like come up with that word before I landed on enchantment, because again, I'm also trying to sort of umbrella around these three different, totally separate things. And I sort of landed on enchantment artist, especially because it is like, you kind of know what enchantment means and you definitely mm-hmm. kind of know what artist means, but you've never heard that combination before. And so it's a thing that inherently asks for more questions, basically.
Yeah, it makes you want to go, okay, do I need an enchantment artist?
Right. Or even just like, oh, I've never heard of that. Well, what does an enchantment artist do? And then that gives me the opportunity to go into the detail that I really need to go into in order to explain the three different things that I do and how they can interact. So
from a marketing standpoint, it's a curiosity play.
Basically, right? Yeah.
You're getting into the curiosity a little bit and get someone to, you know, dangle a little bit and come talk to me a little bit so we can, yes, I can tell you more.
Right, then, because there's not a single word that encapsulates all three of those things.
Yeah, and then you get to use your storytelling powers to come through and sort of show them how they need more enchantment in their business.
Exactly. And so it also gets at that thing that my friend Maddie said to me when she was just like, well, you are your style and you is the thing that's in common. And so the word I feel like really encapsulates my style as well.
Yeah. So what's really fascinating about that, and I love what your friend said, that the thing that sets you apart is you, because I tell all of my clients that, right?
Yes.
So I have this image that I use for my clients all the time, and I call it the crocodile infested river. And your products and services, are like, you have your customers on a journey, right? They're on the left side of the river over here, mm-hmm. and they have certain levels of awareness of the problem that they have that they're trying to solve. And then when they get to the point where they're like, I'm ready to solve the problem, then they have to get in the river to like swim across the river to get to the other side where the promised land is. The promised mm-hmm. land is, they've solved their problem, right? They live in a new life, right? They're no longer, you know, they were fat, sick, and nearly dead on this side. Now they're healthy, vibrant, and full of life, right? And they have that journey that they go across.
Yeah.
And when someone is ready to like dive into the water and swim across, that's when you can come into their life and say, hey, you know what? I've got a boat, right?
Yeah.
And I know how, and you know, and that's my product or service. And my boat has, you know, it's got all these cool features, right? It's got, you know, crocodile disintegrating lasers, mm-hmm. and we've got whirlpool, you know, detection systems, so it can help you get around all of the struggles that are going to happen in your journey.
Right. Way easy.
The most important part of the boat is you. Right? You're the captain. You have been on this journey before. You've been across the river. You've helped other clients go across the river, right? And you have a perspective, right? And it's your uniqueness that allows you to offer something that is, you know, really valuable to, you know, the person who's taking that journey.
Right.
So anyways, that's a long way of saying the same thing that your friend Maddie was telling you, that that you have your own uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes your services powerful.
Right. Yeah. And even like that was the most defining moment along the journey that like really led to here now. But even that, there was still a lot of steps that I went through between then and now, because that was probably, oh gosh, like 4, maybe 5 years ago now when she said that.
Yeah.
And it still it's really only probably in the last year that I feel like I have really actually solidified, like, this is the message, this is what I do, this is how I can help you. So yeah. It was still this
I totally get it. I've been doing this for 10 years now, and it's only like in the last 6 to 8 months that I've really started to nail down my identity.
Right.
And what's cool is after I've started to do that, my business has started to pick up a lot. So hopefully you'll see the same thing happen in yours. That once you really nail down your identity and start speaking it to people well, you'll see your business grow.
Right. So. It makes perfect sense too, because if someone asks you, you know, who are you, what do? Any of that. And your answer is kind of like, well, I don't really know. I sort of do this and I sort of do this, which I feel like that kind of was my answer for so long, because I hadn't figured out really how to make it all one thing. And now it's like, if someone asks me the same question, I actually have a good response that I'm confident in all of that.
And I totally get that, right? I spent the longest time trying to figure out, like, because if you look at like my business, I help people with like sales funnels, and I help people write their messaging, and I help people really understand their customer journey and how they come in and help their customers along their journey. And I do all these things, and I do a really good job with them. Mm-hmm. And I help people build their expert brand, right? Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, I was like, what I would tell people I did was I did all of like the minutia, right, that goes into making that happen.
Yeah.
Like, I do this and that and the other thing. Like, you know, here's all the different things that make that up. And what I've really come down to is like, I've just recently started calling myself the hero maker.
Oh, right? I like that.
So it fits in with the brand of the show and everything, which is good. Mm-hmm. But it also, it invites some questions, right? Same thing that you have.
The curiosity.
The curiosity. What do you mean by the hero maker? And then I can actually tell them all those things that we go into it. So anyways, hopefully having that identity really nailed down for you is going to help you grow your business.
Yes, I think it will. I think.
Okay. So other side of the superpowers, every superhero has these, right? It's their fatal flaw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Superman has his kryptonite. Batman's not actually super, right? So if you look at your business, what would you say your fatal flaw is? What I tell people mine, I've got a couple, but the one I tell people on the show anyways regularly is I tend to be a bit of a perfectionist. And by a bit of a perfectionist, I mean like I'll spend like 4 hours trying to get the pixel to the right spot and then realize that has no impact on anything. And I'm like, I just 4 hours doing nothing.
Right.
I have to work on different ways to combat that. So question is, what is the fatal flaw? And more importantly, what are you doing to help overcome that so other people who suffer from something similar can learn from you?
Right. So that's such a good question. And I feel kind of like when Superman, his superpower is that he's not actually from Earth. And but what comes with that, it's almost like the other side of the coin is the kryptonite, which none of us have to deal with. And so in sort of a similar way, I almost think sometimes the superpower itself can be a challenge. And what I mean by
it can be your flaw.
Right. And so what I mean by that is kind of twofold. One is sort of exactly what we already touched on a little bit, which is just the fact that like enchantment artist is not a thing. It's not a thing that exists. I made it up. And so because of that, there's no clear path at all in terms of how to build a successful business as an enchantment artist. And so in a sense, I'm very much just sort of figuring it out as I go, which in a lot of ways is my superpower, because I can go with the flow, I can figure it out, whatever we need to do. But the downside of that is there's no obvious messaging. There's no like clear, like even when it comes to just like marketing or like posting something on Instagram and trying to use hashtags, it's just like, well, a lot of my hashtags are things that I made up, but that's not helpful necessarily until I really get more momentum going. And so that question of like, well, I'm gonna have to tag this with underwater photography and I'm gonna have to tag it with book cover design and sort of incorporate the other things that are already there and bring them together in probably a weird way that's going to confuse people at first, but then eventually, hopefully, they start to see how it all comes together. And so,
how are you combating that?
So, I sort of look at it as the thing that is so good is sort of the enchantment, the magic, but it's a little chaotic. And that's actually also true, I think, of me personally too, because like I have three different distinct interests, and actually more than that, because, you know, I'm also interested in like Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey and other more nerdy things that don't necessarily play into my business, but still kind of do, because it's just kind of underneath everything. And so that sort of chaos was something that I learned eventually that I was going to have to mitigate, basically. And So I had this moment where I was just like, okay, this is too much chaos. I need to figure out how to introduce some order here. And that led to the creation of my product, which is a Starlight Journal, which is an illustrated bullet journal. And so I made that for myself because honestly, like I just needed something. I spent like 6 months.
Some of the best products come out of stuff that you need for yourself.
Well, exactly. Like that's what they say, right? Like solve the problem that you need solved and probably someone else needs it too. Which was basically my experience because I came up with this idea. It was just kind of a stroke of inspiration one day after I had spent like 6 months looking for like, I need some sort of business planner. I need some sort of thing to contain the chaos a little bit, basically is what I was looking for. But I had specific ideas and also I know myself and like if it was boring, I wasn't going to use it. Because I had tried and they were boring and so I didn't use them. And so I one day just like made a list of like, okay, well, what would I be looking for in this? What all would it have to contain in order to be what I needed? And then I started looking for things that fit that list and I wasn't finding anything. And then one day it like occurred to me just like out of nowhere. It was like, I know how to use InDesign. I can do this. I can just make my own. So then finally I had that idea and it was weird because it also like, it was just like all at once, was the realization that, oh, I actually have the skills to make something. Like I don't have to keep looking for this. I can just make it. And then also simultaneously this just inspiration for visually how to lay it all out. Like it was just there all of a sudden. And I had to kind of race.
And that's sort of how you've combated like the idea that you have some chaos with the type of brand you have is by building this Starlight Journal that has, it's like serves two purposes. One, it helps you combat that fatal flaw in your business. And it also is a product that helps other people have the same thing.
It is the perfect combination really of all the different, it's the perfect example of all the different things that I do. Because it's got the artwork inside of it. It's illustrated. It has a cover. It's a physical book. Like I had to design the whole physical book. So it's a clear example that yes, I can do this. And then in order to market it, I had to take product photography of the thing. So it was, and also of myself and for my own brand. And so it sort of became like the epitome.
And then I like also, what you do.
Yeah, it's the epitome of what I do. And then it's also simultaneously really like the idea behind it and in it and all of that is so connected with what I do because I'm always trying to help other creative people, other people who are struggling, whether it's with too much chaos or what I find more commonly is not enough of the right kind of chaos, not enough creativity, because creativity is very chaotic. And I feel like so many people just have an interest in that, but don't know how to
Yeah. So what's interesting is you mentioned a couple of things that I want to pull out and make sure people recognize. So the first one is you said you have the strength in your business is also the weakness, right? Yes. Is that you have this cool thing, right? That you're calling the enchantment artist. And because that's a new thing, it's hard to market, right? It's hard to understand. So you actually created something that helps you in your business, but also helps people. You mentioned the hero's journey as well. And I wanted to just point something out that in your business, right, the service that you offer, your service is not the hero, right? Your customer is the hero in their own story, right? So they're Frodo on their journey to go and put the ring in the mountain, right? And then your business comes along, you're Gandalf.
Right.
You're the one who helps them on that journey.
I'm the wizard.
Yeah, you're the wizard.
I bring the magic.
I
love that.
My thought for you is to think in terms of like when you're doing your marketing and stuff is who is the person who's sitting there going, I need to create something.
And
I need to get something done. And thinking to themselves, like the same problem you were sitting in when you're creating the Starlight Journal, how can what you're doing come in and, you know, it's like, hey, you got this cool thing, you got the cool message, you have a cool business, you have things that you're actually going out and helping people to solve problems in their lives. Mm-hmm. What you need is you need to have an enchantment artist to help you take your message to the next level, right? And someone to come in and help them along on that journey.
I love that analogy.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that could certainly help with the marketing message, because you don't have to figure out how to market. You just find the people who are already on that journey and honor their journey. Basically, this is what you're doing, and here's, you know, ways that you can make that journey more successful. So continuing on with our hero story here, after the fatal flaw comes our common enemy, right? The common enemy is the thing that the heroes fight against. And it's in your business, it's if you could go into every client you've ever worked with, and if you could just wave your magic wand, right, wave Gandalf's staff and click, you know, do the little thing and just remove something terrible from their life, just remove the problem, what would that thing be?
I think in a lot of ways, that thing would be almost the idea that no one is interested in what they're doing.
Yeah. Like that self-doubt that comes in.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, basically, or the idea, it does all probably go back to a self-doubt, but the idea that they're not going to be able to get the message out there, or that no one's going to be interested.
So it feels like self-doubt didn't quite capture it. Maybe it's the doubt in the magic of their message, right? That other people are going to be able to see the magic and actually get value from it.
Yes, exactly. And like, especially with books, you know, the saying is don't judge a book by its cover or whatever, but that's silly. Like, that's what we do every time we look at a book.
We look at a book, we judge it by its cover, yeah.
Right. And so you can have an amazing, amazing story. And if the cover is crappy, people are just going to look right past it. So you need that enchanting visual thing that grabs people and makes them stop and then actually pick up the book and then read the back, and then they're intrigued and then they're curious, and then
they need to have that curiosity play, right? They need to see it and go, I need to look at that, right?
Exactly.
So they can experience the magic of that story for themselves.
Yes, exactly. And actually that's a frustrating thing to me, because I am such a big reader, and so I'm, you know, I can't go anywhere without finding more books to add to my pile. And I was at a convention thing, oh gosh, almost a year ago now, probably last early summer. And there were a decent number of self-published authors there, and I was walking around and kind of talking to them. And there was one that in particular, like, she had this book and the cover was not really anything fancy at all. The only thing that drew me to it was the fact that it was very short. And at the time, I was just feeling really busy and kind of like, I keep starting books and not getting back to them. I wanted something. I was looking specifically for a book that was going to be short enough that I could just sit and read it in like a couple hours, just so that I could feel like I'm still capable of finishing a book right now. And so I picked that one up only for that reason. And then read the back and was kind of like, yeah, this sounds like it'll probably be okay. Like, this will serve my very specific purpose. And then I read it and it was amazing. Like, it was a beautiful, beautiful story and really well written. And I just loved it so much. And, but then that was kind of heartbreaking too, because it was just like, you could have a cover that captures the magic in this story, and then more people would want to pick it up. Because if the only people you're getting picking it up right now are people like me who are just like, oh, that's the perfect short size, that's not really the goal. So
and like, that's going to come down to like your title, and like the cover needs to actually stop. Like, every piece of that outside of that book needs to get someone going, I need to take the next step, right? I need to, I need to flip the book over. I need to open the cover. I need to read a little bit about the author. Right. And the cover is what does that. It's what's going to, you know, it's what's going to create that magical curiosity to get someone to stop and think, I need to do something with this.
Exactly. And, yeah, so that it was a frustrating moment.
When you realize that's something I've noticed that happens a lot, you realize in your business that like, man, if I could just help someone accomplish this thing, then they could get so much more of a result, right? It's that, it's a good thing. It's like, it's that common enemy. Like, one of the things I do in my business all the time, I do something I call instructional design, which is where I help people teach, right? I help experts build their courses and how to do teaching. And I'll go through someone else's course and realize that like, they missed some major like points that are going to keep their students from getting the results they want their students to get. I'm like, man, if they just talk to me, I could help them, right? I could help them understand how to teach this thing better.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing. You're like, you see that frustration, is that common enemy that, you know, I call it expert blindness, right? For in my business, it's, they're so good at what they do, they don't always necessarily know how to teach someone who doesn't know what they know, how to do what they're doing.
In your case,
it's the common enemy is like, they don't see the magic that comes from a great cover and a great headline and really good photography that gets someone to, you know, have that pattern interrupt and stop and go, I need to pick up this story.
Right. Yes. And it's that's exactly it, because it is, it's the, all of the visuals, we're such visual people, or visual creatures rather. And you know, like that, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And it's very true. I mean, like, Instagram is a good example.
Yeah.
I feel like it's, even Facebook, I feel like, is becoming like just nothing but pictures. And you know, that's what gets people's attention. And especially if it's an especially mesmerizing or enchanting or,
It's the kind of thing that makes you want to stop and look at it.
Yeah, if it is somehow has like an emotional connection to where people just see it and they can infer things from it about the story, or even at a bare minimum to be more intrigued, then that's what you really need, is that sort of gripping visuals.
You need to have something that really captures that.
Yeah.
So the other side of the common enemy is the driving force, your mission, right? You know, Spider-Man fights to save New York, Batman fights to save Gotham, Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information. Yeah. If you had a mission, right, that you could just, you know, clearly state that you're, you know, the thing that you are fighting for, right, that you want to have, you know, bettered in this world, what would you say that is?
So my mission actually goes back to stories, because I believe that stories, fictional, even artistic, like visual storytelling, is really, really important to humans, because it has a way of teaching us things about the real world, even if it's a fantasy story, like Lord of the Rings, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
The value in that is that, like, Smaug the Dragon does not actually exist, obviously. Sauron doesn't exist. But in the real world, we have to come up against smaller versions of that. We have to fight our own dragons in our everyday life. And so the value of seeing that artwork and those stories that is that they teach us. I think it's a G.K. Chesterton quote, but something along the lines of fairy tales don't teach us dragons exist. Fairy tales teach us dragons can be beaten. And I've always loved that ever since I read it, and that's it. Like, that's my mission. My mission is to use my artwork, use my stories, use my voice, use other people's stories, help other people to tell their stories. And the value in that is almost, you almost can't put a number on it, because the value is...
Yeah, it's got a tremendous ripple effect on the people that, you know, when you can help someone get a story out there, every person who reads that story is going to learn a little bit of something.
Exactly.
One of the things that I find endlessly fascinating is the studies of our mind and our mind's inability to tell the difference between reality and fantasy.
Yes. I was just listening to some sort of podcast the other day that talked about how they like ran studies on piano players, and like they were scanning their brains while they were playing a certain song on piano. And then they took them outside, like away from the piano, kept the scanners on, and then told them to, okay, now sit there and
imagine it.
That you're doing that whole thing that you just did. And the scanners detected no difference. It was exactly the same.
It's like, one of my favorite studies I read was a basketball game, and they had brought in a number of people, and they had one group, they were doing free throw shots. They had one group practice all week doing free throw shots. They would stand on the court and they would just all day, you know, for 8 hours, toss the ball into the hoop, try and get good at free throw. Mm-hmm. And they had another group that they did not allow to practice. Said, what you are supposed to do is you will sit in a room and you will close your eyes and you will imagine throwing the perfect free throw over and over and over, everything that goes into it. Uh-huh. You know, the way you're going to move your hand, the way you're going to move, you know, jump, and, you know, the whole thing, and swishing it a single time. And then at the end of the week, they tested them to see who would win and like a free throw tournament. Mm-hmm. And the group that imagined throwing the perfect free throw and didn't practice at all, mm-hmm. won that competition by like a landslide, right?
Wow. Because so your cool.
Your brain's visual cortex, the study was interesting. They went into some of the numbers, and it's like, mm-hmm. when you do something, mm-hmm. like when you actually like you're out and you're doing something, you might it's something like 4,000 or 5,000 visual synapses or whatever will fire in your brain.
Right.
But if you close your eyes and you imagine it, and you imagine seeing it and touching it and tasting it and being there, mm-hmm. it's something like 4 billion, right? It's such an order of magnitude more things that fire off in your brain when you're using your imagination to visualize something. Mm-hmm. What always struck me is like people used to complain at me when I was a kid because I was always reading books, right? And sounds like you had the same
familiar.
Yeah, it's a familiar problem that us readers have. And I realized a long time ago that the value that comes from reading something is that you get to live experiences that you wouldn't normally be able to live, all right? And you get to face those challenges and think mm-hmm. through someone's decision making, right? Even if you don't agree with the way that the protagonist agreed, like you've thought through there, you've been there. Right. And I tell people, like, you know, I've been through space. I've fought dragons, right? I've done these things. You know, I've fought wars. Mm-hmm. And like, how is that?
Because you're visualizing it.
Right, because you're there.
Reading it. Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever read Orson Scott Card in his
series of books.
Yeah, in his series of books for people who are listening, his series of books for the I'm gonna forget what it's called now. The Battle School,
Ender's Game.
Yeah, Ender's Game. The Ender's Game series, mm-hmm. and then the Shadow of the Hegemon series that goes along with it that follows Bean's story. At the end of every one of those books, Orson Scott Card has like a chapter that he talks through, like mm-hmm. the things that he's thinking about and like what he was thinking about when he was making the story. Mm-hmm. And he said something, I can't remember which book it is, and so I just recommend read the whole series, you'll love it anyways.
Yeah, they're great.
And one of them he mentions, he said, when an author writes a story, he only writes half of a story, right? Because the story isn't finished until someone reads it and makes it complete in their head. And that really, really stuck with me, that mm-hmm. the power of stories comes when we consume them, right? Because we're a storyborn people.
Right. And I think, I think of artwork in much the same way. It's there's one thing for me to create an underwater photograph, painting, whatever it is, but, and like, I get value out of that regardless, but it's almost an entirely new, just as important, just as creative experience for someone else to then witness that art, because for exactly the same. Yeah. And if you approach it openly, any art, not just mine, but if you approach a piece of art openly and with genuine curiosity and earnest, I think, like, you can learn things. You actually can. And the other weird thing that happens is that you don't necessarily learn the same thing. Like, you and I could look at the same Da Vinci painting and get entirely different things out of them, because we're each bringing...
You come to it with a different perspective, right? A different like life story that you bring to bear on that experience.
Exactly. You're going to find different things in it that are more relevant to you that won't necessarily even stick out to you.
And it's a super important thing to point out for our listeners too, that if you are running a business and you have products and services, that your perspective, the thing that you bring to bear in your business, is mm-hmm. so valuable because nobody else has it. Right. Nobody else has that perspective that you have.
Exactly. So. No one has the same unique combination of experiences and thoughts and all of that.
So let me continue down our path here. On the other side, you know, when you get past the driving force, then you have to actually like go out and make your business happen. Mm-hmm. Right. And that is, I talk about your hero's tool belt, right? Maybe you have a big magical hammer like Thor, or a bulletproof vest like your neighborhood police officer. Or maybe you just really love the way that Evernote helps you organize your thoughts, right? Or maybe you're a photographer like me. I love my A6500. Mm-hmm. What are some of your favorite tools that you use in your business that really allows you to do what it is you're doing?
So it is definitely my camera, obviously. the very big one.
Okay, so I'm totally a gear nerd. What kind of camera is it?
It's a Nikon D750.
You like it?
I do. Yeah, I've always, the camera my dad had was a Nikon, and so I've sort of just always followed that. I've used Canon before too, and I don't have a particular attachment to either one of them, other than I just already had Canon stuff. So I already had Nikon stuff. I do like it. It's a good camera.
So what's your, because camera is only as good as the glass you attach to the front of it. What's your favorite lens that you use?
My 50mm f1.8 I use for almost everything.
I loved my 50mm 1.8 until recently, and this is how geeky I am, right? I just got I've had it for a couple of years now, but a 30mm 1.4 that I am in love with. I love this lens so much. Only other photographers can appreciate that. It's the first time I've pulled out my camera on a podcast. But yes, I love my 30mm 1.4, and I use it all the time. So I get it.
Yeah. No, I love it. And I think it's almost like a thing in my brain, too, because I know that the 50mm is the same as what our eyeballs see. So
yeah. So is your full frame camera?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm on a crop sensor. So the 50
millimeter. Oh, so your 30 is like your 50. Yeah.
So when I've always had that. There was something wrong with the 50, and I could never figure out what it was.
That's
and
what it
was.
It's zooming
it was
in
like,
too close.
It's zooming in a little bit. So mm-hmm. this 30 millimeter is my equivalent of that 50 millimeter,
yes.
which is
okay,
super geeky. Yeah, super geeky for all the people that are not photographers watching
right.
this. But
sorry.
It's basically the same lens, but yeah, the 1.4 on that makes me so happy, that like razor thin.
Oh yeah. Depth of field. Yeah.
Yeah, depth of field. Love it.
I love it.
So you do that. You use that mostly for your photography side of your business, I assume.
Yes. And then my other thing that is probably at least equally important is Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like that's my big tool. I have a Wacom stylus, so I can do photo editing and then some painting. And
Wacom stylus.
Mine is older than that, but same basic thing.
We're the same kind of nerds here.
Yeah, we are, I think. So yeah, no, I love that thing. That like just revolutionized everything. And that was also the start, it wasn't the start, but it really helped to up my game with my artwork, not just with the photography. I mean, it's a great tool for editing anyways, but it, because my particular artwork is, again, this weird sort of mixed media thing that I sort of made up. I do that a lot. And so mostly what I do for my artwork is I'm combining photography with other hand-drawn or hand-painted elements. And the Wacom stylus just made that like 1,000 times better, because I can really get into the detail and do a lot more brush work and just really make them blend together much better, mm-hmm. because, you know, a painting and a photograph don't necessarily always blend
yeah.
well.
Like, it's a difficult thing to accomplish in mm-hmm. And I find it difficult even like when you're working with two different digital mediums, if one is done you know, like cell block art, and another one's done with like line art, like trying to combine them, you know, they're both digital, it's still hard, like it's difficult to combine that kind of stuff. So you know, good on you for trying. I don't try, right? I just it's a photograph, that's the way it is.
Yeah, so. Yep. Yeah,
but
no,
it gives you a unique skill set that not a lot of people have.
It is, yes. Which just gets us right back to that whole, like, it's great and it's new, but it's new and no one really knows what it is.
Are you tired of trying to write webinars that don't consistently convert? How would you like to have a webinar that effortlessly created sales in your online business? You can. Introducing the Webinar Alchemy Workshop. Webinar Alchemy Workshop is an online masterclass that will help you write incredibly persuasive webinars for your online courses quickly and easily. Using what you learn in this class, you can build a webinar that educates your entire audience while still creating sales. For a limited time, you can purchase this masterclass for only $7, and you'll get the exact framework I've personally used to help my clients sell more than $1 million worth of online coaching and training just over the last year. Simply text the word Alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, to 444-999, and I'll send you all the details.
The music is by Purple Planet Music. Visit www.purple-planet.com.
Yeah, I assume the art speaks for itself though when you see it. So,
yeah, well, hopefully.
what I want to do is move on to your own personal heroes, right? And we talked about this a little bit earlier, right? Frodo had Gandalf, Luke had Obi-Wan, Robert Kiyosaki had his rich dad. Mm-hmm. Who were some of your heroes? Were they real life mentors? Were they speakers, authors? Were they peers who were just a few years ahead of you? How important were they to where you are now and what you've accomplished so far?
So my heroes are basically all authors, which probably not surprising given everything we just talked about. But I kind of have three big ones. Neil Gaiman is one. J.K. Rowling is another.
Yeah.
And the third is Elizabeth Gilbert.
Okay.
So
give us a famous book by each one of them. I know Harry Potter for, you know, J.K. Rowling, everyone knows that. Right. But the other two, if they're not familiar with the artist.
Yes. Okay. So Neil Gaiman is most famous for Sandman, the Sandman comics.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
what most people know him for. I also love the Sandman comics, but more than that, I love his novels. So Stardust is probably my favorite one. It's kind of a fairy tale for adults. So I
really in Stardust, they turned into a movie, didn't they?
They did, yes.
Okay, yeah, I know that. I recognize that.
I think he also worked on that screenplay. They changed a few things, but overall, it's pretty similar.
Okay.
So basically the same story.
And then the other artists?
And then the last one is Elizabeth Gilbert, and she is most famous for Eat, Pray, Love, which also became a movie. Yeah. But the thing that I really love her for is her book, Big Magic.
Okay.
And that is really all about, it's a little bit her own personal journey as a writer, so as a creative, but also it's just so inspiring and helpful as a creative person, and especially a creative business person. And I think everyone should read that book. That one especially, because it just...
Okay. We'll make sure there's links for it in the show notes.
Yeah. It was this weird moment of like reading that book suddenly explained to myself everything that I already was, or like sort of already knew, but couldn't really articulate or didn't really understand how it integrated. And so that was...
And what's the name of the book one more time, just so I can make sure we can get it in the show notes for people?
It's called Big Magic.
Big Magic by Elizabeth, would you say Gilbert?
Gilbert, yep.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert, okay.
Yes.
Cool. So let's really bring it home for our listeners here. What are the top one or two principles or actions that you use regularly to contribute to the success and influence you enjoy in your business today, right? Your guiding principles, the ones that you wish you knew when you first started on your hero's journey back in high school for you.
Right. I think my biggest one is balance, and that also both figuratively and practically for me is exemplified in the Starlight Journal, because the whole point of that was like, I need a single space to balance creativity with productivity. Like, I need to be able to do both and to figure out how to balance those two. And so I think especially for me, having three different directions almost. Oh, sorry. I think that is the key thing, is figuring out how to balance.
How to balance those two things.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just talked about that in the last episode we had, is like this idea of like, you have to have permission to be creative. Like, you have to have that space in your business, yes, especially for, and a lot of us, we try to, you know, focus on being productive entirely, and we don't always have that room in our business to do the innovation and do the creation and realize that like, some of that's the most valuable work that you'll do.
It is, for sure. And like, that is exactly why I made this journal, because if I can schedule the creativity in, then on the days where I have scheduled to just paint and just see what comes up, though, you're exactly right. Like, those are the times where the best stuff comes up, is when you allow it to come up.
Yeah, and when you give yourself room to be creative, room to do some innovation, and room to realize that, like, I don't have to accomplish something today. What I need to do is just let the creative juices flow.
Right. Sometimes the only thing on the to-do list is paint. Or be creative. Painting is very specific to me, but even in other businesses that aren't,
yeah, like for me, it's
like
it's
obviously
Minecraft,
creative.
Right?
Exactly. There's still brainstorming. There's still even just go out and take a walk. Like, there are pages in my journal that say, go out and take a walk and like notice such and such, and then come back and journal about it. Even just journal, even just reflection of any kind. Like, all of that can be really creative and really necessary. Like, that's where you get the good ideas.
Okay, cool. So the last part of the show, something I do with all my guests, is something I call the Hero Challenge. Hero Challenge is pretty simple. And it is just, do you have someone that you know in your network that you could introduce to our show? that you think has a really cool story that needs to be told? Who is that, and why do you think they would be a good fit on the show?
Who do I know? So the first thing that, the first person that comes to mind is an author that I've worked with, and she's also one of my best friends, disclaimer. But her, like, just the process of making her book and publishing her book was like, I was very, very integral in it. And so it's her book and her project, but I'm very connected to it. And it's an amazing book. Like, it's an amazing story, first of all. And she is also sort of in the same place that I am of doing it. And like, that's the goal, is to be an author, but it's a process. So she's still sort of not as far along.
As, and what's her name?
Being a full-time writer. Her name is Kaylin R. Boyd. So this is what I grabbed earlier. This is her book, Tell City.
Oh, nice. And you did that cover?
I did, yes. I did the cover and the interior, and I even have some artwork. Yeah. It's in the intro pages here, just because one day I was just sketching, and that is what came out, basically.
And it's in the book now.
Yeah, and it's in the book now, like 2 years later.
That looks so cool.
Yeah, it's a really good, especially if you like fantasy stories along the lines of Neil Gaiman and that sort of thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for that. We'll reach out later and see if we can, you know, connect with her and see if we can get her on the show and tell her story. Mm-hmm. And again, thank you so much for coming on and joining us on the Hero Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, last question is super easy. Where can people find you if they have a message that they want to get out and they want to get, you know, their enchanting artistry on, right, for their business? Yes. Where can they find you? How should they reach out?
So my website and actually business name is Lucy Covey Creative, and that is spelled LUSICOVI, and then creative. So I am LucyCoveyCreative.com. I am Lucy Covey Creative on Facebook, on Instagram. Twitter cut me off, so I am Lucy Covey Creates on Twitter, but I'm on there too. The best place is probably my website.
And a part of that, where should someone be in their journey before they reach out to you and say, hey, you know what, I need your help? What should they be doing or thinking about?
They should have a product or book pretty much fully formed and ready to, if they're an author, ready to actually start turning it into a book, not just a manuscript, to launch it into the world. If they are a more product-based business, same sort of thing. You want to have like the product line, have things pretty much set, ready to go. You want to have some amount of time and money dedicated for marketing and advertising and that sort of thing. So you want to have it in your budget and in your plan.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So if you're listening to the show and you have a book or a line of products, and you think that having someone like Elise come in and help you really get that enchanting cover and enchanting story put together and help you sell, definitely reach out to her. And you said it was LucyCoveyCreative.com?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you very much for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.